The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord. The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of our journey into Holy Week. In recent years, this Sunday has been referred to as the Sunday of our Lord's Passion. But it marks the final journey of Jesus into Jerusalem. And it is not a journey that Jesus takes alone, as he is followed by his disciples and the multitudes that line the street. Our text this morning is that processional gospel that you heard at the beginning of the service. And so this morning we consider the theme, walking with Jesus into Jerusalem. My fellow walkers with Christ Jesus. I could have titled this sermon, Walking with Jesus to His Death, because we know why Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, which is our first point. But before I develop that, I want to share a couple words from Matthew's gospel concerning this event. There it says, "And Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says something to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. You could say that Jesus sends his advance team ahead of him. Much like whenever the president of our country travels, and most especially when he travels out of the country, advance teams go out sometimes weeks and months ahead of a planned visit. I know a little bit about this because a member of my first parish served on the advance team for President Clinton when he went both to Normandy and also when he traveled to Russia. And whenever the president travels like that, those advance teams take care of all the logistics, lodging and transportation and security. And Ralph, who came from a family of 7 or 9 kids that were all brainiacs, was in the communication side of things. And I only found out about all of this when I went back and preached at their anniversary. And Ralph's daughter took our family, or Ralph's father took our family out to eat, and he explained all of this to me. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem riding on a donkey comes as a direct fulfillment of that prophecy from Zechariah, which is quoted by John. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold your king comes sitting on a donkey's colt. So as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he is met by the crowds and multitudes of people. It says, on the next day, the great multitude who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and began to cry out. And then it says, for this cause also the multitude went and met him, because they heard he had performed this sign. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem to die for the sins of all people, you and I included. People needed a Savior. Payment for sin was coming due with the Father in heaven. Paul would write, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Payment was due, and the consequence of sin, death itself, had to be dealt with once and for all. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem, bearing the sins of the whole world. He rides in on a beast of burden, he himself being burdened down with the sins of all people. If we want to meet a sinner face to face, all we have to do is look into a mirror. We see ourselves, and we see a sinner for whom Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to die for. He enters into Jerusalem because of us and for us. And yes, we are walking with Jesus into Jerusalem to see Jesus fulfill his mission, which is our second point. Jesus' mission, as we know, would lead him to the cross at Calvary and his crucifixion. It's interesting to look a little at the surrounding context of what is going on here. Our text occurs shortly after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. We read, the great multitude thereof of the Jews learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Not only did the Jewish leaders want Jesus dead, but now Lazarus posed a problem. because of Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life, Jewish people were believing Jesus and following him. So he needs to be eliminated. And John says, so from that day on, they planned together to kill Jesus. Now the disciples did not fully understand all that was taking place. It says, these things his disciples did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. Christ Jesus would be glorified in the most unusual way through the servanthood of his cross and through his resurrection. St. Paul would later write, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The cries of the people as Jesus rides into Jerusalem are the cries of people who are in need of salvation. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. That word Hosanna means Lord save. But you know, there was often a great misunderstanding of the kind of salvation. Some wanted freeing from the bondage of the Romans, but Christ came to bring freedom and bondage from sin and death and the power of the devil. St. Peter would later write, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." Jesus comes into Jerusalem to fulfill his mission and to complete his work of redemption. In doing so, he is looking beyond the cross to his own resurrection, which is our final point. I'm sure you've probably used the expression, "Boy, am I glad that is over," or "Am I ever happy that I got through that?" That was the case yesterday when the carpenter came over and we got that stupid trampoline off of our roof. There was a sense of relief. You would not believe it. But you know, when we make those statements and when those things happen, all is accomplished. What would Jesus cry out from the cross on Good Friday but "It is finished"? He knew that his work was done, that our salvation was accomplished. Next Sunday, we will journey to a tomb that will be empty. We will see in Easter morning much more than anyone expected. We will not find Jesus in the tomb. "He is risen" will be our joyous cry. We will see again that we are not only people of Good Friday, but of Easter Sunday. We will again be reminded that we live in his victory. As Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." There's that little expression in our text, "Fear not." Really, what do we as redeemed and forgiven children of God, have to fear. We can be forward-looking people because our lives are grounded in the objective work of Christ Jesus on our behalf. He rode into Jerusalem to accomplish our salvation. That is a done deal. In our baptism, his work of death and resurrection is given to us. Paul says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And then our lives are also grounded in the Holy Supper, where he gives us his body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine, for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. By God's grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, we too are walking with Jesus into Jerusalem in Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen.